I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The more I'm listening to you, I don't know if you meant it to be this way, but we're making it sound like you turned down a ton of money because all these Niner fans were going to come in. The attention that you're getting out of this, you probably made more money in the long run by doing what you did, huh?
Yeah, so the plan's working out, huh?
Well played, Joe.
Perhaps.
Well played. Well played, Joe.
Just one more for me, and I've always wondered this, and your boots on the ground. Do you find it at all curious or even embarrassing that the most iconic statue in your city is of a fictional character?
Not one bit. Rocky's the man.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. I mean, he's actually not a man. He's actually a fictional character, Joe.
Well, the actor's
fictional
a man.
Character. Great movie. Come on now.
Yes, yeah. Great movie.
There
you go. Great set of movies, actually.
Great 11 movies, no doubt. Yeah. All right.
All right, so Joe, what the hell are you doing tonight, seeing as you're not hosting Niner fans?
We're hosting a lot of Eagles fans, and we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We're going to be partying all weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, well, maybe not all weekend. We'll see about that.
Yeah, and I apologize in advance.
We'll be partying tonight, Saturday night, Sunday night, and we're going to wake up Monday with a big victory beer as well.
Yeah, I doubt that, and I apologize in advance if you see a Yelp review from a Dan from San Francisco that talks about the cheesesteak being a little dry.
Hey, if that's how you feel, you let me know. I'll get you another one.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Good sport. My review is going to be like, it was a great place, but the cheesesteak tastes like ass.
Oh.
That's what I was
going to. I'll know who it is.
Yeah.
In line with all the other bad reviews.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Joe, you're a good sport. That was fun. Thanks, man. Have fun, but not too much fun this weekend.
For sure. Nice talking to you guys. Go Birds.
Yeah, right on, Joe.
Except for the Go Birds part. There goes Joe. Ladder 15 bar. Look, let's be real. Yeah, I'd go check that place out.
And let's be honest, he's from Philadelphia. There's no doubt he's born and raised. That is Philly fan.
Oh,
that was perfect.
Oh, wow.
And just looking at the pictures, it looks like it might be a redesigned firehouse, which makes sense. Ladder 15.
That's actually
two floors. Probably a great space.
We could have or should have asked that, but
I don't need to promote the place.
I'm out here trying to bury him. I think that's probably cat out of the bag on that one.
No doubt.
He's not wrong. Like, okay, you said no to a bunch of Niner fans. That's a big one night check. If you just doubled your social media base, if people are fighting over your Yelp reviews,
right.
Job well done.
And there are multiple fan pages that are posting things like, you know, get to their Google and their Yelp. Niner fans are trying to tear them down. Support Ladder 15.
I've never heard of Yelp fighting before. Is this like a thing? Does this happen sometimes?
You know your boy's a bit of a Yelp sniper. I will snipe you. If you give me bad service, you're going to get you're getting one star now.
See, I'm one of those people. If I end up on Yelp, I start questioning my own life.
You better be careful.
No, right away. I'm like, really? Is this what we're doing? I didn't like the steak, so now I'm going to go home to my computer and type a bunch of stuff.
I do it from my phone at the restaurant. Fries were soggy. Service was slow.
I can't.
Ice in the water was too melty. Two stars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, now I want to go to Philly and eat a cheesesteak.
At Ladder 15? Or anywhere?
Anywhere. But see, that's what I'm talking about. That's cool. Joe is cool. Well, but that's not the representation that you know what just happened there? That's Twitter versus real life. Twitter would tell you Joe is a maniacal criminal who is going to try to pants you and knock you out at the Philadelphia trough bathroom at the Link.
He might. He already told you not to wear your Niner jersey, or you get what you get.
Yeah, but I mean,
you're giving him too much credit.
No,
it's 7 o'clock, and he's not even half in the bag yet. Talk to Joe on Sunday.
You wouldn't go to Ladder 15 and be like, let's just trash talk and drink beer and have a cheesesteak for an entire game.
I would, but I'd be dressed like a leprechaun.
Would you?
I'd be in green head to toe for my own safety.
I almost just wanted to say to him when he's like, I wouldn't wear an Eagle jersey at Levi's. I'd be like, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
You'd be fine. Like, I know I came at Guru for the whole Cowboy thing, but that was largely because the Cowboys weren't playing that night. Like, I just...
It's a little different,
It's a little different. But, like, I...
But let's not pretend that out here it's completely a no-fly zone and it's a safe haven.
It's not. There's no game that's a safe haven, but I also don't think, like, automatically you're in danger if you wear someone else's jersey.
It's usually jersey plus alcohol plus behavior equals you catch a fist.
Usually. Or can. I'm not going to say you automatically catch a fist.
I was at the stick sitting next to a woman in a Rams jersey, and the guy behind me by the early fourth quarter took his 32-ounce beer and just dumped it right on top of her head.
No, it's all...
And she was just sitting there in gear watching football.
No, I get it. I get it.
So it happens everywhere.
And I know I don't want to be like... Not everybody is representative of everybody else. You know? Like, if you're... I get it. You know, you're talking about a woman. I heard Joe Shasky and Joe Spadoni this morning talking about whether or not they would take kids to a football game. If you're north of 6 feet and look like a fairly in shape man, are they going to stay away from you more? Maybe.
No, they're coming for you more.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't really know. Like, in the last handful of years, I've been to two road 49er games and I have worn gear both times.
Vegas
and Chicago.
Right.
Vegas was different because, I don't know, it's Vegas. The Raiders sucked. It was the end of the year.
Right.
They were
New Year's Eve, right?
And you are surrounded by half Niner fans.
Correct.
And
Chicago
was
week one or week two?
Week one. It was week one. It was Trey Lance as the starter, week one. They went out there and lost.
Yep.
They went out there and lost. And I mean, it was pouring. So that, you know, I don't know if that took some of the wind out of people's
sails.
Dude,
no doubt.
But the Chicago people were largely like, they were super nice. At halftime, they hated themselves.
Right.
I'm like waiting for a hot dog behind a bunch of people who are like, Justin Fields sucks. Like, they were so mad at themselves. Yeah, and then they won.
And that's week one, and it's also Chicago, who is already, shout out Garrett, wallowing in the fact that they are terrible. Philadelphia's defending champs, and they're looking to defend their turf, and they've got more of that rep. So it's slightly different, but you're right. Like, Niners go to New Orleans, it's a takeover. Niners go a lot of places, it's a takeover. And I'll look at the Vivid Seats numbers. I'll see if I can find it. Yeah. I'd be surprised if it's more than 15% Niner fans.
Oh, I bet it's higher than 15, but it's not going to be. It's normal 45 to 55. Let's do Alex and San Mateo. Seth Joyner's going to join us in a little bit, but we'd love to hear from as many of you as possible. Hi, Alex. Thanks for calling. What's up? Alex, you there? That's just air.
Sorry.
Let's go to Matt in San Rafael. Hi, Matt. What's up?
Hey, guys. First, that was just a brilliant segment. there was a brief little bit of trash between Dan and Joe that had me roaring. The back and forth was rapid fire. And then Joe went and screwed it up by saying, don't wear your team's jersey, which I think is going over the top.
Yeah.
I think that you can represent without being a jerk. But Mark, I've been listening to you a lot this week, and I agree with you wholeheartedly in this way. So first, I think the Niners have a chance. I think if Trent plays, they have a better chance than if he doesn't. Doesn't look like Ricky's going to play, and that's a problem. But if they can run the rock, I think that I give them a puncher's chance to do some damage. But given what we were expecting coming in, if you told me 12-5, I would have said absolutely brilliant. And then that coupled with the injuries, we've been playing with house money since Fred went down against Tampa, and the fact that they are where they are and have a chance. Like, I love this team like I've loved few others because they've shown grit and togetherness, all that kind of stuff that, you know, you make movies about. But you don't really see, and the Niners have been so good for so long that it's almost like expected. And last year was such an anomaly. Of course, when Bosa tore his ACL his second year, that was a fluke, blah, blah, blah. But this year, it's just been like a bunch of dudes that have been sucking it up, and Mac Jones comes out of nowhere, and I love the guy. I mean, the guy's just a goofball.
Yep.
It's been a great year, and I hope they win. I'm pulling for them. I'm not super confident, but the reality is it's been a great season no matter what happens.
Matt, great call. I'm with you. Overachieving teams, they do that. They have that effect on fans. Fans fall in love with overachieving teams. I do think that this qualifies as one of those. And I think Matt is pointing to something we've talked about this week. It's been a little bit hard to separate what brought us here and then what goes on next. And I'm so impressed with what brought the 49ers here. I'm so stoked that they're in the playoffs, that this is even happening this weekend. That does not mean that there isn't still the same intensity around sitting down, watching it, and hoping that they win.
Of course, and what goes on next is determined by a number of factors, and he hit on the big one for me, which is being able to run the ball, and we'll see who they have able to help them do that.
Can't wait to talk to more of you. Seth Joyner, former Eagle, is going to jump in here next. Let's see if he wants to trash talk some more or if he wants to be, I don't know, kind of studious about it. We'll find out. Dibs' picks are right around the corner. We got higher or lower action later on in the show as well. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems, and it's Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. That gave a lot of Philly flavor. And I think we can go right now and get some more. At least that's the plan. He's a contributor for IP in Philly, but let's be real. Like, if you've been a football fan for more than a minute, you know the name Seth Joyner. That's an Eagle. That's 13 years in the NFL.
And I'm less likely to talk that much trash to Seth Joyner as I was to random Joe from a bar.
I think that's fair, but at the same time, Seth is geographically not close to you now, so it's okay.
But still physically imposing from 3,100 miles away.
No question.
Mr. Joyner?
And he's got his own YouTube presence, the Seth Joyner Show, that you should check out. So we very much appreciate his time, and he joins us now live on the River Islands guest line here on Willard and Tibbs 95.7 The Game. It is Seth Joyner. Hey, Seth, good afternoon, good evening. How are you?
All good, guys. What's happening?
You know, we're just getting ready for this football game that we're all excited about. Look, you played on defense. The Niners are down to their second and third defenders in a lot of spots. How realistic is it for them to somehow contain the Super Bowl champs in your mind?
Well, listen, they did it all season long. You know, I've been telling people they kind of flew under the radar. All the focus, especially in the NFC West, was upon Seattle and, you know, their emergence and, you know, the L.A. Rams. And, you know, lo and behold, in week 18, the 49ers, with all the injuries that they've had to overcome, was sitting right there with an opportunity to not only win the division, but get the number one seed. It didn't work out, but, you know, they pieced it together nicely and put together, you know, a pretty solid season, even under all the, you know, with all the injuries and whatnot that they had to endure.
And the injuries primarily on defense, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, and Robert Saleh kind of stitching the whole thing together as he went. When you look at a defense like that that suffers so many injuries, how tough is it to still go forward and try to be formidable?
Well, I think, you know, one of the best things that happened in San Francisco is to get Robert Saleh back. I think, you know, he's a hell of a defensive coordinator, and for him to be able to piece together, you know, a defense that gave the 49ers, you know, some balance and a way to, you know, get to where they are to this point, you know, you can't understate it. But, you know, it's tough. It's really tough when you don't have the guys that you're counting on, the guys that you really trust in the lineup, and you're relying on guys that you don't know 100% what you may get from them. But I think it speaks volumes for the coordinator that he is, to be able to get the best out of, you know, backups and third string guys to perform the way that they performed over the season.
Seth Joyner is with us here on Willard and Dibs 95.7 The Game. So those are some compliments for the 49ers coaching staff. We know, Seth, that you've been a little bit slower to hand out some compliments to the Eagles coaching staff. What are your thoughts on what's happened, particularly offensively, this year, and the way that Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petullo have run that operation?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, they're just not as dominant and, you know, up front with the offensive line as they've been, you know, in previous years, specifically last year. They were hands down the best offensive, you know, line in the National Football League last year. You know, they lost Mekhi Becton in free agency. They insert Tyler Steen, the kid that they drafted a few years ago in the third round. But they've had some, you know, unusual injuries on the offensive line. Cam Jurgens, you know, had back surgery in the offseason, so he's not been 100% in and out of the lineup. Landon Dickerson, you know, has had a history of injury and, you know, played pretty injury-free last year, has been beat up and in and out of the lineup all year. And, you know, their best offensive lineman at right tackle, Lane Johnson, you know, has missed, you know, a number of games all season. So the continuity and the injuries kind of lend itself, you know, to some of the issues that they've had. But at the other end of the spectrum, the play calling has been, you know, pretty darn questionable. You know, last week they got to beat the Washington Commanders to, you know, move into the two seed with the Green Bay Packers taking care of the Lions. No one expected that. Well, the Lions taking care of the Bears. Sorry about that. And, you know, they had two red zone trips at the end of the half. You know, they were playing all their backups, but still, they were in position to win that game. And the play call that really made me scratch my head, they were, I think, 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2 at about the 6. And they threw the ball 2 times in a row, 2 incomplete passes, and turned the ball over on downs. No points whatsoever. And at the time, Tank Bigsby, who was then playing for Saquon, was averaging over 6 yards a carry. Now, one of those plays has to be a run play.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
I don't know what you're thinking. Because you're watching the game, everybody's watching the game, they're seeing Tank Bigsby having a day. 3rd down or 4th down has to be a running play. But you got your backup quarterback and spread on 4th down. You know that it's a pass because he can't run. You know, then they turn around the next possession, they get an interception. Same situation. They're in the red zone, they get a 14-yard completion down to about the 5. The young receiver gets a taunting penalty. It moves him back, and then your backup quarterback throws an interception in the red zone instead of playing it safe to at least leave the red zone with 3 points. So that's 2 possessions. You know, so I have to question the play call. And it's been a question in a lot of people's minds here in Philadelphia all season long about what you're thinking about as from a play caller standpoint in critical situations. And you talk about situational football, and at times they look like they don't have situational awareness in some of the things that they're calling.
And where's the oversight? Because Kellen Moore last year was really run heavy, and you win the Super Bowl and he leaves, and now you get a new OC. Is Nick Sirianni really involved in the design of this, or is he letting the rookie OC kind of to his own devices?
No, listen, it doesn't matter, you know, who the OC is. You know, all you got to do is look at the offense, and, you know, you can see what it is. This is Nick Sirianni's offense. It's been his offense since he's been here. It was his offense when Shane Steichen took over in year one. It was his offense in year two when Shane Steichen ran it exclusively, and they got to the Super Bowl and lost to the Chiefs. The following year when Shane Steichen left and they brought in Brian Johnson, it was clearly, you know, Sirianni's offense because, you know, again, Brian Johnson was a first-year play caller. Then you get Kellen Moore that comes in. They struggled through the first 4 games of the season. And with Kellen Moore trying to run what he likes to run, the shift was made to move to the run game. And then you could still see that offense was Nick Sirianni's offense. You know, Kellen Moore was running Nick Sirianni's offense. That's the only reason you take a job in New Orleans, of all places, you know, is because you don't have the freedom and the wherewithal to run the offense that you're accustomed to running. And Kellen Moore is a guy that likes to throw the ball all over the map. So you know that wasn't his offense. So whose offense is it but Nick Sirianni's? But this was the problem in year one for him. You know, they struggled offensively until he turned it over to Shane Steichen. And, you know, even though it was Nick's offense, you had someone else that was overseeing the coordination and the schematics of that same offense.
Seth Joyner is with us, 13 years in the league, great linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles, got a great YouTube product, The Seth Joyner Show. Check it out. He joins us here on Willard and Dibbs. All right, so as always, when there's a matchup like this, Seth, there's a lot of talk about the quarterbacks. There's a lot of talk about the coaches. I'm listening to you talk, and I can tell sort of the hesitation about what the Eagles are doing, but the reverence for Kyle Shanahan. If you were going to take one of the coaches in this game to coach your team, which one do you like?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about the overall, you know, obviously, you know, you would look at, you know, a Kyle Shanahan, even though in the big scheme of things, Nick Sirianni's had more success in 5 years than Kyle's had. But I do believe that the linchpin will be, you know, the Kyle Shanahan calling plays offensively and Vic Fangio. I think Vic Fangio is one of the greatest minds to ever coach in the National Football League, and he will have some things to test Kyle Shanahan and how he calls that offense. You know, obviously, the linchpin of the offense is Christian McCaffrey. When he's cooking, that offense runs like a well-oiled machine. If you can keep him under control and you can, you know, take away the play-action pass, the bootlegs and things of that nature, you've got an opportunity to put Brock Purdy in some, you know, unenviable positions. And, you know, there's times where, you know, he's looked great, but there's times where if he doesn't have that run game, he's not the same quarterback.
You could really say that about many quarterbacks, I suppose. But when you look at Brock Purdy, and you kind of just alluded to it and what you've seen from him, what do you think of what you've seen from Brock Purdy beyond when they can run it or when they can't run it, just as a pure thrower of the ball?
Well, listen, he's a great passer of the ball, but, you know, you can't extrapolate that off of the run game because everything they do is predicated on the run game. If you go back and you look at the five games or six games that they lost this year, the one constant is those games, those defenses were able to hold Christian McCaffrey down. So it takes away the timing off the play action, and it takes away, you know, any bootlegs that you want to run because if the defense isn't buying it because you're not running the ball well, if you're in zone, you can get to your zones and take away what they want to do. It throws off the timing of the passes, especially off a play action pass. Because when he sticks that ball out and you're worrying about Christian McCaffrey running 5-6 yards a pop, now you got problems, you know, getting back in zone and being able to take away those crossing routes that he likes to run. So, you know, everything, you know, as good a passer as he is, and he is good, he's efficient, he makes great decisions 90% of the time, but when you put him in a situation where he's got to progress rather than throwing on rhythm and on time, that's not his strong suit. That's not really what he wants to do. That's not the way that this offense is built. This offense is built to run your stretch plays, your zone plays, and then play action off of it, get guys, you know, off the fake, moving one way, going the other way, timing routes, you know, where you got the crosses, where the linebackers have bit up on the run, and the deep crosser across the middle of the field. A lot of times you see Brock Purdy just throw the ball, and you're wondering who the heck he's throwing it to. And out of nowhere, here comes the wide receiver. So when you take away those elements and you force him to be a pure pocket passer and you force him to go second and third read, you're at a greater advantage from a defensive perspective than if they got the run game working.
Seth, it's great breakdown. It's great to have you on the show. We really appreciate your time, man. Have fun this weekend.
You got it, man. Can't wait. Take care, guys.
Yep, you too. There he goes. Seth Joyner, 13 years in the league. That was an imposing linebacker. I would like the 49ers to sign Seth Joyner for this weekend. That would be great.
I mean, he's already out there. I mean, we should have asked him, Seth. I mean, if you wouldn't mind switching up from the green and white, and you throw on a little bit of red and gold, red and white, and, you know, get out there and pick your number. There's a few you can't have, but other than that, yeah, I think we can give you 49. All apologies to Wallow, who's rocking it. But, yeah, Seth, 1,200-plus tackles in his career.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, and I was looking, member of the 2020 club, which I didn't know was a thing.
Which one?
20 sacks and 20 interceptions.
Career.
Career, yeah.
Got it, okay.
Which, I mean, there's not a lot of those guys.
That's
like
a hell of a year.
You have a few, you know, corners and safeties
sure,
he was a D-lineman who had 20 picks, so he was a part of that club.
Yeah. No, great player, great voice, and good to have him on the show as we get ready for this one. And we got just about 90 minutes to go, and we're talking out recency bias. Basically, the idea that so many 49er fans and the analysts around the nation, I feel, seem a little bit paralyzed based on what we saw last Saturday night. I think you just heard Seth say it. The real chess match here. Look, the Eagles are going to probably move the ball some. We know the Niners are doing bend that, but don't break. But are the Eagles dynamic enough to put up a huge number? I don't believe so. I think they're going to get theirs. They're a good football team, but they don't present that sort of dynamic offense. Kyle Shanahan against Vic Fangio. Yep. And I know the tail of the tape leans in the direction of Fangio on this one, but that's the rub. That's the rub. You've said 24. I'll even, hell, north of 20, I think has to be considered kind of like the over-under or the win or the loss for Kyle Shanahan. I think you got to get north of 20 and then take your chances and hope that the Philly offense makes some mistakes too.
Yeah, hope that they do. And, you know, Jalen Hurts doesn't turn it over very often. They don't turn it over very often. They get in the red zone. They score all the time. And he was laying out last game, and they had two red zone trips, and neither one of them resulted in points. But that was all with the backups, and it hit me because he was talking about a third and two. And if it's third and two this time, it's going to be a couple of tush pushes with Jalen Hurts, and you're going to try to see if you can get one and then get one more. And that's partly why they're so good in the red zone. So can the 49ers bend but don't break and then only allow three? Defensively, that to me is the key to this game. Yeah, don't give up explosives. Sure. That's obvious. And offense, don't turn it over. But can you hold them to three? And maybe Shaky Elliott.
Yeah.
Maybe Shake Elliott.
Shake Elliott.
Maybe he
Shank
can,
Elliott.
I mean, pick your name. Maybe. I mean, he's had a little bit of a struggle at times.
And it's supposed to be windy.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. For sure. That's huge key.
Yep.
Huge key. 888-957-9570. Did you hear Seth Joyner answer? I tried to like cover it up with a blanket, but did you hear him answer the Baldy question? Because remember now, and for those of you who've been listening all week, Baldy goes on WIP in Philly, and he's asked, which combo do you want, Sirianni and Hurts versus Shanahan and Purdy? And he's like, well, Sirianni and Hurts, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
And the hosts are like, not even close? He's like, it's not even close. One of them's been to the top of the mountain, and the other one hasn't been there yet. And, of course, that sparked this whole debate about whether it's just resume or whatnot. So, but a lot of people were like, well, he's Baldy. He's on in Philly. What's he going to say? So 13-year veteran of the league, Eagle great Seth Joyner, I tried in a little bit of a different way to ask him, you know, what would you take? Just the coach. Forget the quarterback for a second, but just the coach. And he's like, I get that Sirianni, his resume right now, just in a 5-year period, would suggest he's had a little bit more success than Kyle. But if you're looking at this overall, Kyle Shanahan, I'm glad that a former Eagle can say that. That is the right answer, by the way.
Yeah, but it's close. I mean, Baldy said it's not close. And, you know, you could pick Shanahan. And if you want to pick on resume, it's pretty clear that it is Sirianni in playoff wins, Super Bowls, Super Bowl appearances, all the rest of it. Resume. You look at Sirianni's resume through whatever 5 years, and it's better than Shanahan's.
Is it better than Shanahan's just because of last February's win, though? Like, when you say it's pretty clearly better than Shanahan's, Kyle Shanahan's playoff record is damn sparkly.
It's good.
It just doesn't have the trophy.
He's 8-4
right.
In the playoffs.
That's an amazing record in the playoffs.
And he's got two runner-ups, and yeah. I'd have to break down Sirianni, but I looked at every team in the playoffs since Shanahan got the job, and there are only two franchises, Mark, that have more playoff wins than the 49ers since Shanahan got the job. Kansas City, 17, and Philadelphia has 10. Now, all Philadelphia's 10 are not Sirianni's because he got the job after Dougie P won the bowl.
Yeah, his playoff record is 6-3, by the way.
Right.
6-3 versus 8-4.
6-3 with a bowl and a runner-up, 8-4 with two runner-ups.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to, like, which one would you prefer? You'd prefer 6-3 with the bowl.
6-3 with the bowl, for sure. But when we say, oh, it's clearly, it's like,
And again, that's resume.
But we're whittling it down to that one game is what essentially is what I'm hearing.
Right.
And that's fine.
It's the biggest game outside of the World Cup final in sports. I'm sure there's a cricket game I'm forgetting, India, Pakistan, that maybe supersedes it. And good afternoon, Cam. Glad to have you. Higher or lower coming up, which is where Cam, it's his time to shine.
I want to talk about that for a second, but go ahead.
So, I mean, yeah, if you look at Andy Reid, 17-5 since Kyle got the gig, 3 bowls and 2 runner-ups. Wow, that is a run. But there's only Kansas City and Philly ahead of the Niners in playoff wins. The Rams have 8, and they have a bowl and a runner-up. So you would put them ahead of San Francisco just based on the fact that he's got a bowl and Kyle doesn't. And, you know, Buffalo's got 7 playoff wins, but no appearance.
I just like, and I know this might frustrate some people, I just think we got to.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You can't just make things, oh, and this is all things. Forget this conversation. You can't just make things about resume.
No, it's a piece of it, though.
You can't just do that.
Well, it's kind of like when we talk about NBA conversations about who's the GOAT. And is it LeBron or is it Michael? Well, Michael's got more rings. Well, LeBron holds like 7 of the top 10 all-time career records. Yeah. So it just depends on how you want to like measure it. For me, when it comes to titles, that becomes the tiebreaker. And, you know, Shanahan now is making
I like that.
He's making his 5th playoff appearance in 9 years. Really good. And he's had 12 games in the playoffs, which is 5th most among current coaches since he got the job. So he's right there at the top of it.
I mean, which sports and which positions do you then carry that argument to as well? I don't know why this is just the first name that popped into my head, but most Bay Area sports fans will have no problem putting completely up on a pedestal in the clouds, Barry Bonds.
Right.
No rings.
No.
So, but is that because it's baseball?
Yes.
And it's one player? You know, we can carry that to a lot of different things. Bruce Bochy was just like, he was a retread. He was a retread who was not their first choice. But then he gets here and it goes ring, ring, ring. And then he leaves and he goes another ring. And now we're talking about someone who is clearly Hall of Fame bound. Yeah,
right.
So I understand all of that, but I don't know. Like to me, there's got to be a conversation that goes more in depth than just picking up a piece of paper and going, this person has so many rings, and that person either has more or less rings. It's got to go deeper.
No doubt. And, you know, too often I think we lapse into that, especially when it comes to NFL coaches, where coaches coach and players make plays that decide the games. And so Shanahan has his team in overtime down at the, I don't know, 12-yard line. Yeah. And it's a great play call and the player's open, but the blocker doesn't go the right way. And so the quarterback has to get rid of it and you settle for 3. And that's just the way that went.
You have 5 picks to make.
They're in.
You've lost 7 games in a row.
Correct.
So fade the Dibbers will be intense, and it will be coming up shortly.
And if you're not fading, you're not doing it right.
You also mentioned that Cam is here. How you doing, Cam? Do you want to mention really quick why Cam is here?
Because Mark Grandy chose his alma mater's football game over his job.
Not just chose, but let's bring in live the director of sports at 95.7 The Game, Lucas Alexander, to share some observations of Mark Grandy's demeanor today here at work at 95.7 The Game.
Not only did he choose to go support his alma mater over working, that was a decision by me, and I allowed it.
Okay,
so just
okay.
A good friend and good semi-boss. You should have been in the same. I think you guys could pick up on how nervous he was throughout the day.
He couldn't breathe.
Being in the same room with him for the last 3 hours, I would literally every 2 minutes, I would hear him go.
Jittery, right?
And
jittery.
Reflexively, I would say, what's going on?
Are you okay?
And he's like, you know, I'm nervous.
I mean,
that's all he would say. So there's that part of it, and that's going on consistently over the last couple hours.
I'm trying to think real quick, like, what's the most nervous you ever been getting ready for a big game? Nervous. Like, excited, I get that.
Right.
But nervous.
Warriors, Cavs, Father's Day, year when they lost that stupid game.
That's a good pick.
And I'm nervous, and I was watching it from my buddy's house because it was Father's Day, and we all chose to get together as families, but I'm nervous.
0-2 Giants, Angels, Game 7.
You were there.
Following the Game 6 collapse.
Yep.
When should have been, could have been, would have been over already.
First time I did play-by-play for the San Jose Earthquakes, I filled in for Jim Cosimore, who was otherwise occupied. It was blonde-haired wig night in honor of Steven Lenhart, who had this great blonde afro. So I'm wearing a blonde afro in the open.
I love it.
And then Wando to Lenny for the game winner in extra time, and your boy lost his mind.
So, like, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Lucas, real quick, who was more nervous over the last couple of weeks? Evan Giddings as he got ready to call a Warrior game, or Mark Grandy as he got ready to watch an Oregon game?
Yeah, Evan made his major league debut, and no doubt it was Grandy.
Less nervous than Grandy, okay.
No doubt.
One last addition to all of these nerves.
Yeah, yeah.
We all know what Grandy does. He has a very set eating schedule during these.
Turkey sandwich, 3:38.
And an apple.
Yeah, and an apple.
Yeah, yeah.
He ate that at about 2:30, and he's been snacking, until the moment he left. I'd never seen it.
So this is a
chocolate bar, protein bar. It.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his reasoning was, tonight might go horribly, and I may be drinking a lot.
Okay.
So, I need a base.
It's supposed to go horribly. Yeah. They're an underdog.
I like that. Not eat a base. Yeah. Also, prehydrate and bread. Like, if you're down 21-3 at the half, start eating bread.
Yeah, bread fixes most things.
Soak that now.
I don't know if it'll fix your picks. Fade the Dibbers is next.
I'm hot.
Five games, and he brings a 7-game losing streak to the party. And speaking of resume,
you're a resume guy.
Barely won any playoff games all last year. Three and 10.
That's not barely won any.
That's barely. Barely winning any in the playoffs last year. So follow the trends, okay?
And fade the Dibbers.
Follow the bouncing ball. Fade the Dibbers is next. We got higher or lower next hour. It's the last hour of the week, and the playoffs are here. Let's ride. It's Willard and Dibs.
Bay Area, it's Keith Santos here. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 957 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Yeah, well, I don't know that there's ever been a week where the Warriors have played three times and have sort of like been this under the radar. Must be playoffs.
No one got ejected.
No one got ejected.
No one had a shouting match with their coach on the sideline.
I mean, the Adorables are here. The Adorables are in town.
Right.
They're not really that adorable anymore.
No, it's payback time, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
After they cuffed you around.
Wasn't that a Baby Dubs game?
Who knows anymore?
I think that was a Baby Dubs game.
I'm tired of even, like, couching things as that because
I know it bothers
you have an old
you.
Team. It just bothers me that... Oh, Baby Dubs, plucky little win. Sorry, Christy. Baby Dubs, oh, of course they lost. It was the Baby Dubs. No, you're the Warriors. You're the Warriors. You got to go out there and be tough. I don't care who plays. Beat bad teams. Fight against good teams. If it's Steph, great. If it's Seth, well, it's not. But whoever it is, you're the Warriors. Go out there and handle it. I'm sick of it, Mark.
Would you say the same thing to the 49er defense?
Yes. Go out there and, like, did they not do that against Seattle? They gave up 13 points.
Yeah, that's so...
It's a little bit of a cherry pick. If you want to, like, put it at the worst-case scenario, then they would have given up 26 points, which Brock Purdy, all he does is score 30.
No, that's the style of the game. They, like, the clock, tick, 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 run the ball.
Yeah,
like,
I get it.
It's just... Anyway. I mean, yeah, that's how you lose 7 in a row. Is you know, takes like that.
That's also how I won 14 of my first 17 with takes like that. So
I think it was 14 of your first 16, wasn't it?
Something like that.
I don't know, but it's
put some respect on it.
No, I'll put some respect on fade season because we are here. Let's go.
It's time for
Well, there isn't a lock of the day. There's checks notes. 1, 2, 3, 4, five.
I got five on it.
Five games. Let's largely just go in order, except for, of course, we will save the 49er-Eagle game for last. But we'll start with what is clearly the NFL's little cute appetizer game that nobody seems to be fired up for or excited about. Maybe Steph Curry is. I don't know.
That's the veggie platter where you got carrots and cucumber and bell pepper and ranch.
A little hummus in the middle.
Whatever. Maybe. Might have a couple until the crab cakes come out. But you're not that into it.
She's just not that into you, Panthers. But let's find out, because they're probably sitting there going, dude, we just beat this team. We could go do it again. Will they? Rams at Panthers. Rams laying 10.5. Dibs.
This one's a keep it simple, stupid pick for me because I'm big on trends and you know I'm big on deep dives and notes. And since the year 2000 in the playoffs, home dogs are 25-13-2, which means they win 25 out of 40 times against the spread, which is about a 60% clip, 65% clip thereabouts. Home dogs of 7 points or more against the spread, they're undefeated since 2000. So we're going with the trends. We're taking Carolina in 10.5.
Let's go.
Cuckoo.
Now it's fade season, but Lucas, really? Are you going to clap? Because
he always claps.
I know, but.
Fade.
Thank you, Dibs.
Yeah, this is a Juju situation. I'm not Juju Smith-Schuster, but I'm not putting the
Juju Watkins.
Yeah, I'm not doing the Juju. I'm not doing the whammy. I'm not doing that in favor of the Rams. I hope you're right. I hope they lose. I hope they lose the game outright. So anyway, I go with you. Panthers plus 10.5.
All right.
Let me jump in real quick. I will be fading every pick. This is where Dibs feels confident, and the more confident Dibs feels, this is our time.
So you're doing a 5-pick parlay?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
I would bet them individually because last year I was 3-10, which means I'm probably going to get one of these right. No. I would hate for your parlay to be ruined by me just like finding something, like a pig finding a truffle.
They're built for that, though.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
I was going to say something, but pig and a truffle made me laugh.
My snort was a 4.
It was good, even though you gave it to yourself. All right, on to the next game we go. And ladies and gentlemen, it's Frozen Tundras uniting together because Soldier Field in Chicago.
It never gets old.
Is going to host the Green Bay Packers right here in the midst of January. Well, let's find out what happens. It's the Bears and the Packers. Up to the minute, I've got it. You tell me, Divs. I got it at Packers -1.5. Packers -1.5. Is what I'm seeing on our internet dials. But
that is what we're going with. Okay. It's a weird line, but that is confirmed.
Yeah, Packers -1.5, Dibs.
Well, home dogs since 2000, Mark, are 25-13-2. And that would apply here to the Bears. However, when I get in these matchups, one of the caveats I lean against quarterbacks making their first playoff start, even if it is at home like it is in Chicago. Let's be fair here. Green Bay is just better. Are they 1.5 better? I think they are. I'm taking Green Bay, and I'm laying 1.5. Kaloosh!
Fate! On. Fate! Fate! Bears are winning this game. All right!
Well, if they don't win, they're going to have a hard time covering.
No, they're underdogs. But Bears are winning the game
outright. If they lose by 2, they don't cover. Right.
No, Bears are going to win. That's why I'm fading you.
The Bears
are going to win the football game. Bears, Chicago, my kind of town. On to Sunday we go. Let's do it. Josh Allen's got no one in his way, right? Right? I mean, no Patrick. There's no Lamar. There's no Burrow. It's just a wide open space for Josh Allen to go straight to the Super Bowl. Will he? Because he's on the road right out of the gate against the plucky Jacksonville Jaguars And he's got to lay points. Bills, minus 1.5, Dibs.
Home dogs, Mark, since 2000 are 25-13-2 against the spread. Jacksonville is one of them. Nobody in this market loves Trevor Lawrence as much as I do.
That's true.
Nobody. And I told you with a new coach and a new scheme, he'd be better, and he has been. They've had a great running game for the majority of the year. This game forecasts to be a shootout. And when you look at everything on balance and you think about where would this game possibly swing, I hate to say it, T, but it swings on what you do every single game, which is, shout out the Red Hot Chili Peppers, give it away, give it away, give it away now. Lawrence is going to give one to Buffalo. It's going to be a high-scoring affair. Buffalo laughs last. You take Buffalo, you lay the 1.5. Cuckoo!
Jags win the game. Jags win the game outright.
Yeah, you've been saying it all week. Yeah,
Jags win that football game. All right. Let's move even later into the Sunday eve. Let's bypass that little 1:30 kickoff. And let's go to Sunday night football. Deep in the heart of Massachusetts, the New England Patriots are back. They're back in the playoffs, and they're hosting a, Matt Harbaugh.
Don't steal.
The only Harbaugh that made the playoffs this year. It's the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Patriots are laying 3.5. Oh, hang on a sec.